that we are here in the house of God. I have always liked that song. I have leaned on a lot of things that didn't have a lot of security and stability and give way on me. I remember one time in particular, my wife probably knows which story I'm going to tell. We were going up, the parsonage that we lived in Kentucky had some back stairs. This was before they were redone after what happened with what I'm about to tell you. But I was going up through the steps, and of course I was leaning on one of the stairs, and I fell through the stairs. And I was second step from the top, and here I am dangling, trying to figure out how I'm going to get out, right? And so it turned out, Brother Kevin, they didn't actually have the, you know, those, I forget what they call those things that were actually mounted. And they just had like a piece of wood with three nails tacked into the stair. And so it had given way. So anyhow, here I am wondering how I'm going to get out and thinking, boy, I did not trust those stairs anymore. We took them out. So there's some things that you lean on in life that you cannot trust, but you can trust leaning on Jesus. Amen. He'll never give out on you. He'll hold you up no matter what you're dealing with, where you're going through. So I think that's a great song to get us started today. I do want to take a minute to take some quick prayer requests. We especially better do that since we're dealing with the subject on the substance of prayer. I think that it would be a very appropriate for us to make sure that we take time to honor the Lord, take prayer requests in time of prayer. And so let me get my notes here, and then we will take a second to take some prayer requests. I do want to mention that I know that there's some still out of town, or I know there's some traveling, still some that's been under the weather. They're staying home, and so please pray for them. Remember them, and then I feel like, oh, I was going to mention good friends of ours. I got a call last night. It was after midnight Kentucky time, but their son, who lives in Texas, had to be air flighted to somewhere in Louisiana because he's battling COVID. And it's just a delicate situation. They're having trouble with his oxygen. And so please pray for him. It's the Butner family. I wanted to mention them kind of at the top of our prayer list this morning. And of course, mom and dad are really concerned. And they were up pretty late. It was only about 9 o'clock our time when they called, but it was after 12 o'clock their time. And so they're concerned about their son. His name is Michael Butner. But just, I know the whole family, or most of the family. Even though their son lives in Texas, I've met him before. He's come in for special services and things like that. Just great, great family. They love the Lord, and they're just putting their faith and trust in the Lord, and have asked Christians to pray. And I believe that God's going to come through, and I believe that God's going to do something special for Michael. And so, but I did want to mention it in prayer, and I believe prayer changes things. Amen. And so pray for the Butner family today, if you will. Anybody else have a special request they want to mention today? Chuck? Yes, sir. Chuck's been fighting with his knees, and not his niece. I sound like I said niece. Niece. Knees. Not niece, right? You've not been fighting with your niece. He's been fighting with his knees and giving him some fits, so please keep Brother Chuck in prayer regarding that. Miss Nancy? Yes. Oh, boy. Sorry to hear that. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Y'all get with me after church. Maybe we can try to do something with church or try to encourage him, okay? Yeah. I can only imagine. When did she pass? Okay. Please remember Bill Egan, going through a very difficult time right now, obviously. Lost there, suffered. Please pray for him. Wow. Well, that's a great testimony, but of course it just kind of, yeah. Wow. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Shh. She mentioned Marshall. Some of you don't know who that is. That's my wife's brother. He has a handicap, and he's not able to live on his own or anything like that. But he's been losing a lot of weight lately. Yeah. Yeah. And if you know more of the family story, my father-in-law, my wife's dad, who just passed away last December, you know, he had gotten sick and was losing a lot of weight real fast. So, you know, it obviously concerns him. Now, Marshall's a lot younger, obviously, but still, just keep Marshall Turner in prayer, if you would. Yeah. Marshall Turner. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else this morning? No? Oh, yes. Yeah, please remember, of course, Will. Going through a lot. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and pray, church, and then we'll get started today. Lord, we're so thankful for your goodness and grace. Thank you for allowing us to be here for this time of Sunday school, Lord. We do think about those not able to be here for different various reasons, Lord, whether they're traveling, under the weather, whatever the case may be. We pray that you put a special touch on them. And Father, we come today with just some special requests made mention on our hearts today. We think about the Butner family, Michael in particular. Lord, we know that he had to be taken by air over to Louisiana. Lord, and I pray that you put a special touch on him. We pray that you'd be with the family, his wife, his parents, and Lord, all the loved ones that are there. And God, just give him healing, and we'll put our faith and trust in you that you're going to meet a need there. And Lord, we think about Chuck, Lord, battling with his knees. Lord, we know that, God, that it's been a discomfort and painful for him recently, and I just pray that you touch him or help them, Lord, to find a solution. Lord, as Miss Nancy mentioned for Bill Engden, Lord, God, just the loss that was suffered there, we pray for him. Lord, we pray for maybe the other family, the loved ones, but God, just a difficult time after losing his wife for 55 years, and I just pray that you just help him. Lord, let us be an encouragement to him if we can. Lord, we be with those couple folks battling the cold. Lord, be with our boys this morning. We think about Marshall. God, I pray that you would be with the situation there. Lord, with the thyroid. And Father, I just pray that you'd meet a need. And Lord, for Brother Will, of course, today, Lord, you know that there's a special need there. And we just want to lift him up in prayer. And Lord, as he has said, he is confident that you're going to meet a need and that you're going to that he's going to come out victorious because of what you're going to do. And Lord, we thank you for that testimony. Touch him in a special way. Be with our hour of Sunday school, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are going to go back to Matthew chapter 6. And we just started last week on dealing with the subject on the substance of prayer. And I'll share a couple of things just to kind of a quick recap. And then we'll go back and look at the scriptures that we've already read. But we're going to touch on them just a little bit and then continue on the substance of prayer. And just to kind of help us a little this morning, I wanted to share some things, just some thoughts on the matter of prayer while you're turning there in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And D.L. Moody said this: "I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray." And you remember last week, we really opened up with that thought where the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They didn't say, "Lord, teach us to preach," or "teach us to be great healers," or something else. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And I thought that was really a good thought. Curtis Hudson said, "There's more that you can do after you pray, but there's nothing you can do until you pray." And I thought that was pretty good. Amen. Everything that we do, everywhere we go, everything we say ought to be bathed in prayer. And boy, it really will make a difference in our lives if we really had that mindset. Abraham Lincoln said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Mine own wisdom and all that about me seemed insufficient for the day. So he talked about, even with everything that he dealt with, he was driven to his knees. And then there was a thought here by unknown author. Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. And then the last thing is, really, we've kind of put a theme on it. Life is fragile, handle with prayer. Life is fragile, handle with prayer. So that's kind of helped us, just a couple thoughts by wise Christians, give us some ideas and on prayer. So here we are back in Matthew chapter 6. And of course, last week we talked about really our attitude in prayer. The example here where it talked about in Matthew chapter 6, the first few verses, to not be as the hypocrites are in verse number 5, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And so when we're talking about our attitude in giving, our attitude in prayer, we are doing this, we do it for the Lord, not for personal glory, not for personal credit. We don't pray because we want people to be impressed with our eloquency of speech. Even if I attempted to do that, you really wouldn't be very impressed, amen? So I'm glad that I'll just rely on the Lord and just pray because we want to pray, pray because we're trying to get a hold of the Lord and actually maybe letting Him better get a hold of us. And so there was that mindset that we had on prayer, the desire that the disciples asked Christ to teach him how to pray. Then there was the example of prayer that Christ was. And you remember the story, we talked about that. They came down when they requested that of the Lord. They literally were watching Christ pray. And boy, how do we need it more than ever today, church? We need people to see us pray. Hey, don't be ashamed if you go out to dinner somewhere. Don't be ashamed to bow your head and lift up your voice in prayer. And you'll be surprised how much that encourages people and oftentimes empowers people. I've literally had people on multiple occasions say, hey, we are really impressed that you had the courage to pray. And, you know, to me, it wasn't a courageous act, but I'm glad that it encouraged them and maybe empowered them. I had one in particular say, you know what, we're going to start doing that too. Well, you never know what kind of positive effect that kind of prayer and not being ashamed of praying. And so that can be a big help. And, you know, the other thing that could also do and open up an opportunity for is somebody might be having a hard time or a hard day, and they've obviously seen you bow your head in prayer. You might be one of the ones that they want to come talk to and say, hey, would you pray with me about this? Then that could open up a door for you to share Christ with them, to share the gospel with them. And so it's just such a wonderful thing when we realize that, look, I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to pray. I'm not ashamed to pray in public, because it can go either way. Sometimes we want to pray in public, or as he was talking about, the hypocrites are here. They want to pray so that they can be heard and try to impress. But sometimes it can be the other way. You shouldn't also avoid prayer because we're embarrassed or ashamed or worried about what somebody might think. So I'm certainly not ashamed to call unto the Lord whenever the time is appropriate, which pretty much always is. So here we are now, and this next part of what we're studying is the actual model prayer, what's known as the model prayer. And if you let's go to verse number 7 in chapter 6. It says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So the question is not should you pray. The question is when you pray. Okay? When you pray. The question is not whether this is something that Christians should do. The question is when you do it. In other words, he's given instructions when you get down and pray. Now, let me remind you, the Bible says to pray without ceasing, and that word cease means stop. So it's literally saying be in a constant state of prayer, right? Now, I don't recommend that you go down the road, close your eyes, and pray. You don't have to close your eyes. It don't work very well, Chuck Bucks. Okay. You close your eyes praying and driving. Oh. Yeah. Oh, good, good. See, and then you had an opportunity, really. She may not realize it, but she got ministered to by you praying with her. Good. That's a blessing. Exactly. That's a blessing. But we should be in that constant mindset of prayer. Now, when I am driving down the road, you know, I am saying, Lord, protect me from some of these valley drivers. Glory to God. And boy, we've seen some stuff. On my way, of course, most of y'all know I work in Chandler at the State Farm Agent's office there. I leave Coolidge and I go up 87 through the reservation. Well, some of y'all know, Tom, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those cars, man, they want to pass you. And there's like five cars. I'm like, why do you want to pass five cars? And then there's a semi coming this way. I'm backing out of it. Like, I don't want to be involved in this. And so, you know, somebody said, well, you know, you don't need to wear a seatbelt. Just trust the Lord. No, I click my seatbelt while I'm praying. Amen. And so I trust the Lord, but I also want to keep my seatbelt on as well. But anyhow, he's saying here, when you pray, we should be in a constant state of prayer. It shouldn't be something we think about doing. No, it's something that we should do. What Christ is saying, this is how you pray when you do pray. And then he says, use not vain repetition. So that right there, church, tells us that this model prayer was not something that Christ intended for us to repeat over and over and over again. What it does have is an example of substance to include in our prayer, or content to improve, to include in our prayer. So that's why we've sort of talked about this little mini-series being the substance of prayer. It's not that we're going to memorize this particular passage of Scripture, which some religions do. Okay, they literally repeat this exact same thing all the time. But yet in verse 7, Christ says, use not vain repetitions. Okay, so, you know, if you say something just out of duty, or if it's exact, it doesn't sound real, does it? It sounds kind of fake if you just repeat the same thing all the time. I think the Lord is looking at what's the condition of our heart. I think the Lord is looking for us to bring our brokenness and our depravity, our sinful condition, our genuine concern for loved ones, our concern when we're hurting, whatever the situation may be. I believe that's what God's looking for when we pray. And there's some things that we'll talk about here in just a minute. So we see it's a matter of not should we pray, but when you pray. But then also it's not something vain repetitions. Then it says, as the heathen do, for they think much, or they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Then we get into the actual example or model prayer that we know. Be not like therefore like them, for your Father knoweth what things you have needed before you ask Him. Now, God does know what we need before we even ask Him. Anybody who's been a parent knows your children, and depending on the situation or the circumstance, you often know what they're going to ask for before they even ask it, right? And then often we have an answer before it's even asked, don't we? No, you're not going there. You know, it's just not going to happen. Or maybe, you know, you what? Yeah, it's all right. You know, it'll work out. And so sometimes that happens. Can you imagine even how much more the Lord knows? Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. I mean, I've told you before, I don't know how many hairs are on my head, but the Lord does. The Bible teaches us that He does know that. And so the Lord knows the intents of my heart. He knows the ins and outs of me. So, of course, the Lord knows. Now, let me also remind you that along with this thought, the Bible does tell us that we have not because we ask not. Right? We have not because we ask not. And so, you know, last week we've seen situations going back to 2 or 3 weeks ago. And Miss Winnie testified this. Roger had fallen, didn't know what had happened. He had, you know, got and suffered an injury to his head. He, you know, turned out probably was a blood pressure or whatever the case was. But she came away, and we agreed, believing that God's people started praying, and it wasn't worse than it could have been. I mean, he got stitches. That's probably best case scenario if you fall and hit your head. He got stitches. It could have been a lot worse, folks. Of course, you know, Roger's already, he's already, you know, up in years. He's feeble. He does his best to get into church. He's faithful to church. It could have been a lot worse. It could have been a different kind of conversation, right? And I'm glad that we weren't making funeral arrangements, but she came away praising God, believing that God, that prayer changed something, that God's people praying did something. And so we know that that's true. We know that God does do that. And God knew what that need was even before we prayed, but yet I still believe that we as Christians should gather together and do that thing. In verse number 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, notice what it says. It says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, when you start to sort of dissect this prayer, that Christ is teaching here, or the example of the model prayer, understand that the first thing is that should be included in our prayers, who we're praying to. Who we're praying to. Now, I will tell you, there's people in the world that pray, but it does not mean they're praying to the Lord, right? Now, I know God knows, but I believe we should, for the sake of acknowledging. When my children come to me, they will say, Daddy. When they make a request to me, they say, Daddy, right? Or Dad. You know, Sienna, the baby girl, she usually says, Daddy. The boys sometimes say, Daddy, or Dad, whatever the case may be. But they acknowledge who they are addressing. Now, I just tell you, when my children come and say, Daddy, you know, that's their way of saying Father. That gets Daddy's heartstrings. I love when my children address their father. I'm their father. I'm their daddy. And I love it when my kids come and tell me things. I especially love when they come and just randomly give me a hug and say, Daddy, I love you. Oh, boy, that's the time to ask for things, Miss Judy. Amen. That's the time, if you really want something, you come give Daddy a hug out of the blue and just tell him how much you love him and how much of a good dad you think that he is. And so, boy, that's really the time. I think this one right here has mastered that art. So, you know, they know, don't they? They know. Yeah, they know how to do that. Can you imagine that? You see, the reason I feel that way, folks, is because I have an emotional bond with my children. You know, it's kind of funny, you know, that idea of love at first sight. Everybody's heard that. Well, you know, as soon as I saw her, I decided I was going to marry her. And I get that. I understand that. But, boy, I really believed that when my children were born. I believe it really was love at first sight. I mean, you saw that little child be born, cut the umbilical cord, and I thought, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. Right? It was love at first sight. And so the reason why that has an effect on me, because I have an emotional bond with my children. Can you imagine on a much, much bigger scale? I don't have the love of God. I try to strive to have godly love. What I'm saying is that I don't love people the way God does. I do love people. I do love my children. But I'll be honest, I don't even love my own children like God does. I love our church family, but I can't stand here and tell you that I love you the way God does. I'm not the one who died on the cross for your sins, but Christ did that. In fact, the Bible tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But what I'm trying to say, church, is that God has more love for us, even more than I have for my own children. And I know I love my children a lot, so I can't even fathom the love that God has for us. So when we address the Lord for who he is, notice it says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So there's the acknowledging of who God is, and then it's actually acknowledging his greatness. That idea of hallowed be thy name, it's a matter of holiness. It's a matter of reverence to God. So what I'm saying, church, is that let's always make sure that we properly address the Lord. The Lord is to be reverenced. The Lord is to be feared. In fact, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Lord is to be magnified. And it says, hallowed be thy name. And so we are lifting up the name of the Lord. We are magnifying the name of the Lord. So he says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then, of course, it does make an address as the location. And I believe it's just another reminder of who we're praying to. Now notice in verse number 10, thy kingdom come. Now, I think that says a couple of things. I believe that's in reference to the furtherance of the gospel. And I believe it's also a reference to looking for his return. I think that we ought to always, as Christians, Jesus told us, remember when he said to pray, he was in the garden, he told his disciples to watch and pray. To watch and pray. And that's a biblical principle that we should take today too. Watch and pray, watch and pray. Well, we're still looking for Christ's return. The Bible says that we're looking for that blessed hope. The Lord is going to come back for us one day, okay? So watch and pray. So that's an advancement of the kingdom of God. That is a furtherance of the gospel. That is looking for his return. I believe that's a lot of things that we acknowledge there when we pray. But then it says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now there's a difference between God's will and our will, right? So when we're praying, are we asking God to submit to our will, or are we willing to submit to His will? Now, that does not mean that we don't pray, sometimes we pray, and God honors the desires of our heart. The Bible does teach that. I believe that He really does. And oftentimes, He even gives us more than what we ask for, blesses us more than we even fathomed that God would do. But when we do pray, church, we should come with a willingness to submit to the Lord. So, if we pray and ask God for something, we are praying oftentimes not just for the Lord to work in a certain way, in a certain circumstances, but we should also keep in mind that sometimes the Lord may not change the circumstance, but He may change our heart or our attitude or our spirit about it. Okay? So if we're dealing with a problem or dealing with a circumstance, you know, the Lord may not be in His will yet to get to solve that problem, right? But the Lord may be trying to teach you. It may be part of His will to teach us something through that trial or through that circumstance. And so when we come with a heart and an attitude to the Lord, Thy will be done, what we're saying is, Lord, whatever Your will is, that's what I'll accept. This is what I'm praying for. This is what I'm asking You to work in our life. But I am willing and ready to submit to Your will more than my will. Right? Now, going back to the example of illustrating with my children, if my children come to me with an attitude that, Daddy, You're going to do this, you can guarantee it's not going to be done. Okay? So it just doesn't work like that. You know, Daddy, You're going to give me $10 so I can buy this. You know, no, don't quite work that way. Okay? Now, if you come with a different attitude, for the record, sometimes I might not just hand $10. Sometimes I may make a way for them to get $10. You know what? Those bushes really need to be trimmed up. And I'll tell you what I'll do. Those weeds need to be pulled. I'll tell you what Daddy will do. Daddy will pay you $10. You go do that job. It's a reminder that sometimes we just think, well, Lord, I just want You to solve. Sometimes God is trying to help enable you to accomplish that thing. It's kind of the same idea that, you know, we sit around, well, I believe the Lord's going to take care of me. The Bible says that He'll meet our needs and all that. So we open up the mailbox. We check on our apps on our account every day, waiting for a deposit to come. It may not necessarily work that way, friends. Realize that God maybe enabled us to go out and work and provide a way for us to get a job and to make a living, right? I believe that God gives us that enablement in some circumstances that way as well. So keep in mind that our attitude, keep in mind, we're talking about our spirit and our attitude. We're acknowledging God for who He is. We're essentially reverencing His name and magnifying His name, giving Him glory when we pray. And then we're acknowledging, Lord, I would rather have Your will be done than my own will be done. Now notice what else that He says there in verse number 11. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our debts and forgive our debtors. So we've talked about our prayers, acknowledging who the Lord is, acknowledging who we're praying to, and then, of course, acknowledging His will versus our will. But then our prayers in verses really 11 through 13, we're talking about our personal petitions, okay? So first of all, it's the person of God. The second of all, it's the petitions, okay? When I say petitions, He says, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and even verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There's two specific petitions that we should incorporate when we pray. One is, I understand, physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. But the other one, and oftentimes is, you know, we generally don't forget our physical needs. Lord, help me today. I'm not feeling well. And for the record, if you're not feeling well, you should go to the Lord and ask God for help or for a touch of God. Lord, help me today. My knee is bothering me. We should ask the Lord for help when our knee is bothering us or whatever the case may be. I understand that. You should. All I'm saying is that don't forget to address your spiritual needs as well, along with your physical needs. That should be part of our petition of prayer. So there was the person of prayer, referring to God. Then there's the petition of prayer, referring to our personal needs. But there's two very important aspects of that. There's our physical needs, and there's our spiritual needs. Now, when He talks about the obvious physical needs, give us this day our daily bread. That is, you know, I think we can also refer to that in a spiritual sense as well. The Bible says Jesus is the bread of life. He said He's the bread of life. And so God, I think, gives us our physical needs, as in He provides for us. He makes a way for us to be provided for, but then He also gives us the spiritual needs. And then the segue there into verse 11. Now, verse 12 is interesting. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So, we're asking the Lord for forgiveness of our sin, but yet we don't forgive others. Right? So, in other words, why should the Lord forgive us? In fact, in verse 14, I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But then He says, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. I mean, did you read what I read? I didn't write this, church. I didn't author this chapter. I didn't preach this Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus preaching. This ain't me. Okay? I'm telling you what the Bible says. That's all that I'm doing. And what the Bible says is that God is not going to forgive us if we don't forgive others. Did I misread that or misunderstand that? That's what he says. You know, I believe one of the greatest hindrances to prayer is harboring anger and bitterness towards people. You say, well, Pastor, they didn't ask for forgiveness. It never addressed here. It does not say if they came and asked you to forgive them, then you forgive them. That's not what it says. Nowhere do I see that in here. That's not what the Bible says. But you understand that forgiveness is not as much for them as much as it is for you. Okay? If we harbor that bitterness, if we harbor that anger in our heart, in fact, I believe it was in Psalms that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. Iniquity is another name for sin. And if we hold that, if we have that in our hearts, then guess what? Friend, that is going to be, our prayers are literally going to be hindered. Now, I don't know about you, when I pray, I want to have a powerful prayer life. I want to have an effective prayer life. But if I'm harboring bitterness and anger and I've not let go of things, I've not released things, and for the record, I never said that folks didn't hurt. I never said that you weren't wounded. I never said that it doesn't bother you from time to time. But friends, we do have to, and I believe this is probably something we may have to do on a daily basis, honestly, because sometimes things bother us. I get it. We're still human. We tend to resort back. We tend to remember. Sometimes it seems like we have bad memory, except for when it comes to forgetting and forgetting what people have done to us, right? You know, we forgot to pick up the dog food on the way home, and now we're having to feed him, you know, tuna. I've done it, okay? I've been late at night. Poor little Max. I knew I was supposed to get the dog food, and I forgot. And I'm popping open a can of tuna. Now, Max never got upset when that happened, okay? Max, it never bothered old Max. He's like, hey, I wish you'd forget the dog food more often, glory to God. But I get that. But what I'm saying is that sometimes I forget things, right? I have forgotten to pay a bill, not intentionally. I have forgotten to pay him, and I'm getting a phone call. I'm getting a final notice. What's this final notice about? I don't remember the first notice. Oh, yeah, I did get that one. I remember now, right? It happens. And so guess what? You're calling up the power company and saying, here's my money. Please don't cut me off, okay? Here it is. You forget things. Oh, but boy, we don't forget when somebody's done us wrong. Glory to God. Well, you know, we're like elephants. We got the memory of elephants. When it comes to that, we are not going to forget that. Oh, I remember what you did to me. Oh, I remember what you said to me. And friend, again, I had never once said that it didn't bother you, didn't hurt, because I know they do. What I am saying is that the Lord says, hey, if we don't learn to forget that, forgive that and let it go, it is going to be a hindrance to our prayer life. Now, this is what's included in the model prayer. This is what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about say this word, say that word. I believe he's literally referring to the substance of what our prayer actually should be. This should be incorporated in our prayer life. This should be part of our prayer life. So then, of course, he says, forgive us our debts and forgive our debtors. Lead us not temptation. Let me talk about that for just a moment. Probably that'll be our last thought for this morning, and we'll continue on next week. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, we ought to pray. I believe this goes back to, probably it could be our physical, but also our spiritual protection or spiritual needs. We should ask the Lord to keep us from falling into temptation. And it's not just things that would be obvious, but I think sometimes we're tempted to say something mean. I think that sometimes we can be tempted to, when somebody says something ugly, to be tempted to say something back. When yet, when we know the Bible says that in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And what that's telling us, church, is simply our response to things makes a difference, right? So if somebody comes at us ugly and we respond ugly, then it's just going to be an even uglier situation, okay? Ugly and ugly just makes more ugly. But if somebody comes in with ugly and we respond with there you go, brother, kindness, you know, a sweet spirit no matter what, we're just happy in the Lord, we're thankful for what God's doing in our life, hey, it does change the situation. You know what honestly makes it really, and it's not like this is your motivation for doing it, but if somebody is saying things to you trying to get you upset and they can't make you upset, it actually makes them even more upset, right? Now, we shouldn't be trying to make people more upset, but there's nothing that heaps coals of fire on their head more than, no matter how mean you are, I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to that level, right? I'm not going to do that. And boy, there's nothing else. So I believe when we say, lead us not to temptation, there's a temptation to speak our minds that when we shouldn't, or say things that we shouldn't, do things that we shouldn't, go places that we shouldn't, watch and hear things that we shouldn't. You know, remember we've addressed a couple of times, probably say something about it later on. Mine eye affecteth my heart, the things we see, the things we hear, they affect us. And so part of the substance of prayer is asking God, I believe, to put a spiritual hedge of protection upon us, guard our hearts, protect our hearts, put on the spiritual armor of God, as it talks about in chapter 6. If you look in Ephesians chapter 6 and you look at the armor of God, I believe those things help prevent you from falling into sin, falling into traps, getting ourselves in trouble, opening up our mouths and inserting our feet. I believe that ought to be part of our substance of prayer. So we've looked at different things here, church. We're talking about the person of God. Really, it's three main parts. The person of God, we're addressing Him. There's our petitions of prayer. And then, of course, our last thing I want to mention, I said that temptation was, but I do want to mention this. Our prayers should include praise. Amen. When we pray, we should always pray. Notice the last part, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So in the beginning, it addressed God. It addressed the reverence of God. And I believe in the end, we're giving praise to God. You know, so it starts off with being about the Lord, and it ends up with being about the Lord. Amen. I believe that's a good concept to follow. I believe that's a good substance and content to include when we pray. You know, when we do pray, we ought to thank God for what He's already done. Another thing to keep in mind is that God's not a magic genie that we just come and give God our wish list, okay? That's not what our attitude towards the Lord and prayer ought to be. And we're just going to rub a lamp somewhere. Lord, here's my wish list for today, right? You should let your petitions be known to God, but you also should be praising God for what He's already done. God has already answered. There's nobody here today that God has not answered some prayer in your life. So we can all stand and say, or kneel whenever we pray, Lord, thank you for what you've already done. Lord, you've already done this in my life. You've already answered this prayer in my life. God, just last week you answered this prayer, and I give you praise and glory for what you have done. That should be, church, part of our substance of prayer. And I believe these are recipes to help us to have an effective prayer life and should be included in our substance of prayer. We'll go ahead and stop right there. We'll continue on our substance of prayer over the next few weeks. I don't know exactly how long we're going to be, but I just felt like the Lord really wanted us to take some time and study on this subject and the substance of prayer. Okay, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Brother Kevin, would you mind to pray for us and then pray for our service coming up?